individuals and organizations advancing equity in our community. We welcome back Jenny Rosario, an attorney with Justice for Our Neighbors, providing pro bono legal services to vulnerable immigrants living in Michigan communities. And of course, we explore misconceptions and myths about immigrants. Joining the discussion is WGVU Grants Manager Steve Chappell, a weekly segment, part of a grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation for mic check purposes. Good morning and welcome back, Jenny.
Good morning.
And hello to you, Steve.
Good morning, Shelley.
Steve, would you give us that brief overview?
Yes, absolutely. You referenced a grant that WGVU has the pleasure and privilege of administering from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation. We're now in our fifth year of a project that is exploring, quite frankly, the inequities in our community that face many people of color, whereas our Grand Rapids area is made up of some 35% people of color, enriching the fabric and success of our community. We are approaching this project topic in a couple of ways. We have an inclusion reporter who reports on issues involving disparities and inequities. We also are approaching it by working with leaders of color who are producing content with and for their communities, and then we're taking that into the community for change-based conversations. And when we think of immigrants, refugees and asylees, they in fact are our very neighbors. Many people on this call, many people who are listening, were born out of immigrant families. Your fathers, mothers, grandparents were immigrants themselves. And so when we think of immigrants, and we're going to be talking with Jenny Rosario about that, many things come to mind. First of all, first and foremost, humanitarian issues. Immigrants in this country, refugees, asylees, are often escaping untold tragedies of war, famine, and other reasons that they come to this country. And so we look at it from that perspective, but also the legalities involved, a very complex issue in and of itself. And then lastly, and the reason for today's conversation, myths and misconceptions when the word immigrant comes to mind. So with that, we're very pleased that Jenny Rosario, attorney with Justice for Our Neighbors, and I must say that that name of your organization really hits home. You know, individuals who are immigrants are, in fact, our next-door neighbors. So we're pleased that you're here, Jenny.
Yes, Jenny, thank you for that. Let's get into why there are so many misconceptions about immigrants, including the myth that all immigrants are here illegally. Take it away.
Well, I think there's always been a misconception about immigrants because of a lack of education. People just didn't know the facts. But lately, especially in the last 4 years, there's been this stream of unrelenting misinformation that's been put out there. And it seems to be put out there by, it appears to be that it's a reputable source. So the rhetoric's confusing and conflicting. And since it's coming out of so government officials, there hasn't really been a way to debate or rebut these misconceptions. Since January of this year, there's been a slew of immigration-related executive actions that have been put in place. And when something comes from the executive office and through an executive order, there's no opportunity for experts or advocates to weigh in and correct the misconceptions.
So if you can expand, talking to the legal status of immigrants and conditions on which they're able to live here, Jenny.
Well, one of the greatest myths is that all immigrants are here illegally. Right now in the United States, there are about 45 million immigrants, that is people who are born outside the United States. So of that 45 million, roughly 75% are U.S. citizens, legal permanent residents, or temporary permanent residents. The remaining quarter of immigrants that are undocumented. But just because those people are currently undocumented, it doesn't mean that they entered the country illegally. Many of them entered the country with a visa and then just overstayed when their visa expired. And I think something most people don't realize is, in fact, Canadian visitors to the U.S. are most likely to overstay.
Steve.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing that up, Shelley. When we talk about pathways to come to the United States, that's very confusing in and of itself for all the reasons you just stated, primarily all the rhetoric that's flying around. regarding that topic. But you know, there are ways that immigrants come to the U.S., stay for various periods of time. Can we talk about that? The employment picture, also immigrants that come here because of family members who are already here, and some of the reasons that they come to the U.S. and can come to the U.S.
There are basically three ways for immigrants to enter the United States. One is through their employment, the second is through family, and the third is if they are seeking humanitarian relief. So if you're coming to the U.S. as an immigrant on some kind of employment visa, these are very difficult. These visas are very difficult to get. They can be limited to people of extraordinary ability in science, arts, or athletics. I would think of Miguel Cabrera from Venezuela with the Detroit Tigers. It's that kind of high-profile, extraordinary skill that somebody needs to qualify to come in on that type of visa. Other people, they're going to be looking for highly skilled workers like nurses and computer engineers. And another employment way for people to come in is you have to be very rich. If you can invest $1.8 million, and you have to have that money before you come to the U.S., if you have $1.8 million to invest in a new commercial enterprise that will employ at least 10 full-time U.S. workers, then you can get one of these employment visas. So coming here on employment visa is not easy, and it's not for the poor.
Jenny, before we examine some more misconceptions about immigrants, a thought comes to mind. If you or I were to relocate, say, to India, where it's not uncommon for people to wear turbans because they might be members of the Sikh faith, or to whatever part of the world you can think of where dress is different, talk is different, the food they eat is different. So if we were to relocate to one of those areas, we would be perceived as different. And I think that's one of the dangers. So if we look at just the way we perceive someone here in the United States because of their differences, that can often bring about negative reactions and connotations, when actually we should be embracing those differences, because for the facts you said, they are contributing. They're trying to take care of themselves and the families. So keeping that in mind, another myth that we often hear is that immigrants come here and steal our jobs, that they displace American workers, and that they tap our resources. Can you get into that a little bit about what the facts are actually?
Yes. This is a big myth, and I like to focus specifically on how immigrants have affected and influenced Michigan, because Michigan has really benefited from an influx of immigrants recently. Immigrants don't steal our jobs. In fact, they're twice as likely to be the employer and not the employee. Immigrants are twice as much to be entrepreneurial as native-born citizens in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I can think of a specific example right here in Grand Rapids. I know there's a consulting software company. It's called Jovian Software. And two Indian immigrants, they became U.S. citizens in 2015. They started Jovian Software Consulting Company in 2017. And they now have 14 employees who focus on creating software for the U.S. Department of Defense. Michigan has several Fortune 500 companies that were founded by immigrants or children of immigrants, like Masco, Ford, Kelly, Dow Chemical. Mm-hmm. And for immigrants stealing Michigan's jobs, the latest stat I can find is from 2016, but undocumented immigrants comprise less than 1% of Michigan's workforce right now.
Yeah, that's such a critical truth that needs to be known, because as you said, and the reason we're talking this morning is that myths and misconceptions can bring about not only negative connotations, but mistreatment of individuals. And so it's really a dangerous avenue that we go down if we really don't bring out the facts like you're doing now, that immigrants, refugees, and asylees, or people seeking asylum, are here for a reason, because they want to be here. They bring gifts and they bring resources. And quite frankly, I think as research has shown and statistics bear out, they make the American economy much more competitive on a global basis. And we were all immigrants at one time. So we appreciate your clarifying some of these misconceptions.
We have time for one more misconception, under 2 minutes, if we could, Jen.
Yeah. How about the big one, that immigrants are criminals or terrorists? That's come out loud and clear. Can we address that one, Jenny?
Yes, this is absolutely false. Reports of crime rates and conviction data indicate that all immigrants, including undocumented immigrants, commit crimes at a lower rate than native-born Americans. In fact, states with larger shares of undocumented immigrants tend to have lower crime rates than states with smaller shares of immigrants. So I definitely want to make that clear. Immigrants do not commit crimes at a higher rate than native-born Americans.
I just want to sneak in a quick mention of your very resource-rich website, Justice for Our Neighbors Michigan. And our listeners can go there by just keying in JFON for Justice for Our Neighbors. So JFONMI.org, and they can actually learn about some of the families, some of the individuals that you have helped, some testimonials, upcoming events, ways that the community can get involved, including donations, et cetera. So I just wanted to sneak that in, Shelley.
Wonderful. Your final word, Jenny?
Immigrants enrich American culture and actually strengthen the U.S. economy. JFON, we help people achieve what generations of immigrants have journeyed here to do, which is build safer and more secure futures for themselves and their loved ones. You can learn more about JFON at jfonmi.org. And while you're on the website, please go to the section called Meet Our Donors. These are the people whose generosity makes our work for immigrants possible, and perhaps your listeners would like to join them.
Wonderful. 15 seconds to you, Steve.
Yes, if our listeners have missed any part of this interview with Jenny Rosario of Justice for Our Neighbors Michigan, you may visit the WGBU News webpage under Mutually Inclusive later this afternoon and listen to this and other interviews in the series in their entirety. And we thank Justice for Our Neighbors Michigan for their great and important work.
Wonderful. Jenny Rosario, Steve Chappell, thanks for you. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a great day.